The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Hello and welcome to another Ricky Gervais Show with me, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant.
Hello.
And Carl Pilkington.
Alright.
The ninth in a series of 12 podcasts we're doing for free.
Absolutely free of charge.
We're getting, we've already done over sort of 2.5 million downloads. We'll probably do 4 million downloads by the end of the series. If I had a quid.
I don't even want to discuss it, Rick.
You are gutted, aren't you?
I'm absolutely furious, because I said to you when we studied, I said, why, you were going, oh, let's give something free back to the fans, and I was saying, it's not worth it, they don't deserve it. But no, you demanded it, and I wanted to pay, I want to charge crazy money for
it. I've been a fool. We've had about, something like 6,000 emails as well. If we could channel this to good, because you know what I mean? This internet has been set up, billions and billions and billions of dollars go, on this, cyber highway, back and forth, doing good stuff, communicating, sending people into space, commerce, and people, hundreds of thousands of people are sending me pictures of Carl as a monkey.
I know, exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's not what this system was created for.
Thank you for all your emails as well. That cost us as well a little bit, because they're going through the website, which costs us a little bit of money.
But it also costs me my precious time having to wade through the crap that gets sent to us.
Thanks to Kieran Gabriel from Merseyside, who sent me a picture of Carl as Bruce Willis. It's the effort. We'll put all these up on the website. David Weinstein has started his own T-shirt range. I could eat a knob at night. And Paul Devon has sent me this caricature of Carl, and it's brilliant. Again, I think they're wasting their energies. It's actually a brilliant painting of a little round, bald-headed Manx, some sort of, like, freak creature.
Yeah.
Whereas he could have done a beautiful painting, but thanks to all those.
I have actually waded through the emails, and I, obviously, again, like Ricky, I echo the thanks for sending in all the different questions and comments about the show. And there's so many, it's impossible to obviously even reply to them or talk about them, but a couple of that have struck me. Emily from New York has asked, Carl this. Carl, if you were on a sinking ship, or you were in a burning building, and you were with, myself and Ricky, but you could only save one of us, I don't know why that's the case, but you can only save one of us.
Yeah.
Who would you save? Would it be Ricky, or would it be me?
I think it's a two-man dinghy.
Right, okay.
Possibly. And we're trapped, and he knows that if he stays there to get both our legs out from under this thing.
The girder.
Yeah, he dies, so he's got room, he's got time to save one. It's obviously me.
It's hard to say, isn't it, at this point?
What, because Steve's in the room, you mean?
Well, no, just because we don't know what the situation is.
Okay, well, let's say we're on a sinking ship, all right? So you're going to have to rescue one of us, drag us into the dinghy.
It's going under. You know, in 30 seconds, okay, this ship's going to go under and drag you down, and you're going to die, right?
Yeah.
And our legs are trapped, and you've got enough time to untangle one set of legs. Whose legs do you untangle?
Now, just because my legs are long does not necessarily mean it's more complicated.
No, it's exactly the same amount of time. Just have to make a choice. A terrible choice that Steve would not, you know, hate you for.
Well, no, listen, this
is... He won't be around for long. He's going to drown in 30 seconds.
Well,
forget him.
bear in mind this, Carl. You are going to be stuck in a dinghy with Ricky Gervais, and who knows how long that's going to take.
Yeah.
Think of all the head squeezing that's going to be going on, the comments, the wind-up. And do you honestly think that he's going to, if there's any provisions, that he's going to split them evenly with you? I mean, he's going to have drunk all the water, and it's only going to be about half an hour in. The food's going to be gone. Look at his gut. Look how much, you know, of the food he's going to have to eat, the baked beans that you've got on board. Whereas me, you know how generous I am. I'm always sort of helping
you
out.
Oh, there we go. Carl, I think he's put the nail in his own coffin there. You know how generous I am, Carl. Let's talk about that, Carl. Come on, think about that one.
Yeah, I mean, have you forgot about that, Steve?
What?
What? The time when... We went for a coffee, and we had to have a bit of a heated debate about the 50 pence change.
Yeah, you owed me 50p, and you decided you didn't want to give it to me, because it was only 50p. And my point was, it's not a question of 50p, it's the fact that it's not your decision to decide not to give it to me. If I want to be generous, that's my decision. But you can't go, oh, it's only 50p,
well,
Steve.
It's my decision,
but you just given him a free keg of beer.
Yeah.
But that did not come to you, and you didn't pay for the free keg of beer. It was a promotional thing that was sent to you.
It's the same thing as the way I gave Suzanne my leaving present from my last job.
A lot of people may not be aware of this if they haven't heard us talking about it before. Yes, but you had a gift from your work as you were leaving after however many years of service, which you then gave straight to your girlfriend without telling her that it had been received from people at work.
Doesn't matter. She wanted a camera. It's the same thing as you. You wanted that lager that I got for free. It hasn't cost you anything. It doesn't matter where I got it from.
So you now decide, because you've given me a free lager, that you can now say, oh, actually, I'm not, you know, in the future, I'll just take your money, Steve, on a whim.
Well, listen, stop arguing. Just... You're rocking the dinghy, Carl. Have some of my cheese.
Imagine if he would. Do you imagine he would ever say that? Can you imagine him ever offering you any of his cheese?
Are you going to save, Carl, mate?
I don't want to say.
Can we say on the website? Can you just do a little explanation of why on the website? Can they? We'll think about it, and
I might do a sort of a for and against or something, and then sort of so the conclusion is
okay. All right,
something like that.
Go to RickyGervais.com.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Well, I've been waiting for this for a week. It's a regular feature now when we read from Carl's diary. Carl decided to keep a diary. He's gone through with it. I can see it there. It's massive. It's a huge desk diary that he has to carry around with him. And the pages are getting full up. You're really keeping to this.
Yeah.
Right. This is extracts from Carl's diary.
Did podcast and went for an Italian with Ricky and Steve. Italian place is good. We've been there a few times. I always have the same thing, spaghetti. Can't remember what everyone else had. Last time we went there, Steve had little octopuses with pasta. You could see that they were octopuses. They hadn't been cut up or anything. My rule is that I only eat stuff that looks nice when it's alive. A cow, a chicken, some fish. An octopus is an odd-looking thing alive. Even worse when it's dead and limp. It looks like it just shouldn't have been sat in the spaghetti.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Ricky drew another picture of my head. We've given a few of them away as prizes, but he draws so many of them that they won't be worth as much anymore. Everyone will eventually have one. Like those pictures of a boy crying that caused houses to burn down in the 1980s.
What does that mean?
What are you talking about?
Don't you remember the... I mean, if you're listening in America, they might not have made it over there.
Is it the sort of like the sugary ones with kids? Like, is it Tetchikov or something?
It's just some kid. My auntie Nora had one, and it was just like a kid with like a blue jumper on, and it's like a painting, not a photo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and he's just crying.
Like a chocolate box. It's really awful, sort of sugary.
And what happened is they found out that a load of houses were being set on fire or burst into flames, whatever. And the weird thing was.
Oh, it's bollocks.
Every house that burnt down had that photo.
Yeah, because every house had that picture in the fucking 70s and 80s. Idiot. It's like, we're linking it to sinks. Every house that's ever burnt down had a sink. You're talking shit again. Carry on.
Wednesday. Saw a homeless bloke. I'm surprised that no companies have thought about sponsoring the homeless. Something like a clothing company. Give them some clothes that have an advert on the back. Everyone's a winner.
Good idea.
Not bad, is it?
Got on the tube to Camden. Read in a free newspaper that hedgehogs could be gone by 2025. I think I've seen more dead hedgehogs than alive ones anyway, so I don't think I'll miss them. Went round to Ricky's house and had a game of pool. It should have been nice and relaxing, but Jane gave me some cake, and Ricky said I can't play pool if my hands are all sticky from cake.
It was the sugar. And it wasn't that either. After he'd finished it, they weren't just sticky. He was licking his fingers, sucking his fingers off, and then was going to pick up pool cues and touch things. And I was thinking, go and wash your hands after licking your hands. You're not a cat.
This turned into an argument when I said I didn't want to wash my hands.
Why didn't he? Disgusting.
He goes for a piss all the time without washing his hands and then squeezes my head. I know I prefer to have lemon cake crumbs on my head than knob juice. Was going to do a crossword, but I'm tired and have learnt enough today.
What have you learnt?
Well, the stuff about hedgehogs and that.
Oh, God.
Was on my way to my mate's and I got on a train. Got close to a station but realised I needed a wee. Was about to go in a cubicle when a blind man with a dog who was bumbling his way through the walkway came around. I said, are you after the toilet? He said, yeah. I said, it's on your right. I shouldn't have let him go first, as he took ages and it would be my stop soon. The dog waited outside the cubicle. I was going to stroke it, but then I remembered someone telling me that you shouldn't. Don't know why
not?
That is.
Because something to do with the owner should be the only one who sort of deals with that dog, and you shouldn't...
You shouldn't stroke it, because you'll cover it in fucking lemon cake.
No, but just because, you know, if you stroke it and that, it might like me and want to go off with me, and he'll come out and be lost and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure, but I just thought...
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
A few people have sent this in, including Paul the Party Animal Parker. I wonder if anyone else in his school... I mean, for some reason, we've just assumed he's in school. I don't think there's any actual proof of that. But
I reckon he left in June, and he's doing sort of bits and pieces, but he's still not a party animal.
Do you think he can hold down a job? Is he just partying so hard that...
He can hold down a job, He often arrives late. Sure. And the boss, who's in an overall, go, Parker, you're late again. He goes, yeah, talk to the hand. Yeah.
I think that he's the sort of guy that he'll just happily say, listen, I survive on 4 hours sleep. Sometimes yeah. I go to work, I've not slept at all.
But I think he comes in with his headphones blaring, right, on a skateboard, yeah. And the bloke goes up to him, the old bloke, right, the old fuddy-duddy bloke goes, you stupid idiot, you can't go there. He goes, chill out, man, and in 2 minutes, he's got him dancing.
Oh, I know what he's like. Yeah, he is just like, he just can't resist it, because he's just a fun guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul and a few other people have sent in this piece of information they've discovered from one of the more respected news networks. The headline is this, female kidney turns lumberjack onto housework.
Right.
Now, a Croatian lumberjack apparently has claimed that he started enjoying housework and knitting after he was given a female kidney. He claims he's going to sue his local health authority because he says he's become a laughingstock. He used to enjoy heavy drinking sessions and things. The kidney transplant saved his life, but they never warn me about the side effects. I've developed a strange passion for female jobs, like ironing, sewing, washing dishes, sorting clothes in wardrobes, and even knitting.
Well, if he likes it, what's the problem? It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Hold on, though. What makes me laugh is he's become a laughingstock. So what do you do when you become a laughingstock? Tell the newspapers.
Well, yeah.
Tell the newspapers about it, because then that'd keep it completely under wraps. Then.
But it's the sort of medical nonsense that Carl would normally come out with.
Absolutely. That you know, you take on the personality of the person who gave you their blood.
Exactly. It's like those old horror stories, you know, you get given a murderer's hand.
Yeah.
And you go around killing.
But there can be certain medical things that would change the way you think and would change you as a person. Say, like, how they can do face transplants now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't quite understand how this face transplants work, because do you get a choice of who you have? If you have something done to your face and you go, you know, it's burnt or whatever, or something happens to you and you need a face transplant.
Well, if you totally changed your appearance, then you would eventually change because of how people reacted to you.
Yeah, but
if you gave yourself the head of an elephant, soon you wouldn't be yourself.
But I wouldn't have that. That's what I'm saying. If they had a catalogue and they said, here's some faces you can have, pick which one you want.
Yeah.
Would you be looked upon badly if you go, do you know what? I don't really like the look of any of them. Can I just wait for a better face? Or at this moment in time, have you just got to take what's on offer?
Carl, there's no one looking through catalogues at faces they might be able to have.
No, they do now because of the face transplant thing.
But who are these people putting their face up for? They wait till someone...
Yeah, I know, but at some point... Well, I tell you what, I would not have a face transplant if I haven't seen the face before I'm going to have it.
You had to...
I want to see what I'm having. Because I could end up with anything. You mentioned elephant's head. What, do you know what I mean? Whose head are they going to use? Is it the latest thing that's died? Oh, well, this got run over before. Yeah, I'll stick this on your head.
But where did this come from? Where
on his mind?
Where are these faces queuing up to be popped on a skull? Where do you think they have got time to put all these...
Maybe this is why it won't catch on. I don't know.
This is extraordinary. You've created in your own head the existence of this pamphlet, and now you're defending it, even though we don't know it even exists.
And you're this skull on a hospital bed going, I'm not having that. I don't like the look of him. He looks a bit shifty. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, no.
Can I ask this now? Let's say we passed away, sadly, in something terribly tragic. The nation's mourned. You know, it's terrible. It's like one of the great national disasters. But you... At the same time, you survived the accident, okay, but your face is hideously disfigured. You can take either Ricky's face or mine to have.
I'm surprised you're asking this, though, Steve. I mean, it doesn't seem like any of them is, like, a great option.
Oh, thanks.
And this is what I'm saying about the catalogue. If those two were on offer, I might go, do you know what? Pop in again tomorrow. Bring in another booklet.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
This is from Anne-Marie Melvin in Amsterdam. She says that she loves the podcast. She listens with her 7-month-old baby. That cannot be a good idea. And she says this to you, Carl. If you had children, what is the most important lesson you'd want to teach them?
I mean, in a way, if you sort of look after a kid too much, it doesn't learn that much. But if you let it learn by its mistakes, it'll probably grow up all right.
But there are some mistakes you can't afford it to make to learn from.
Yeah. Driving a car the wrong way down a motorway.
Testing if the fire really is hot.
No, but say like the time...
Does broken glass really taste horrible? These are lessons you don't want it to learn from mistakes.
You can tell them that. Yeah, but what that I mean, is, but what I mean is there's certain things that... I just think that there was a kid who grew up in our avenue, right, on the estate, who, when it was born, right, we kind of thought, it's got no chance, this kid, because its man was a bit of a rummen. You know,
a rummen? Where's that?
No, just like, you know, she liked going out and having a fag and, like, having a drink, and she's never at home. It's the one who had the horse in the house.
Sure. Right,
which I don't want to go over.
Sure, it's old news.
It's
yeah.
out there, isn't it, if you want to find out about the horse in the house. But she had a kid, and everyone was pretty surprised when they saw it, because it was a good-looking kid.
Yeah. Right?
Which was a surprise, because, like, you know, the man wasn't that good-looking, the dad was a bit rough. But it came out, and she was showing it around the avenue, going, look at this, I've had. And she was chuffed with it, because it's probably, like, one of the newest things she's ever had, because everything else was always sort of
second
down and what have you. But suddenly she's got this brand new little baby, right? Anyway, as it grew up, right, those looks went...
Right.
And I'm not talking getting old, I'm talking by the age of about 3. It looked rough already, right? And all that just happened because that's the life it was in, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it had, like, a patchy head.
It had a patchy head?
A patchy head. It's just sort of...
It wasn't a North American Indian. What do you mean, a patchy head?
Just his hair was patchy. He used to chase, sort of... cars and stuff.
It's cars. It's, sorry, it's, what do you mean?
Just that's what he did for his.
Sorry, did she let it get raised by wolves?
No. but all I'm saying is that at the end of the day, what is it that makes a person? Do you know what I mean? Now I don't know what state he's in now, but maybe he learned all his mistakes by the age of 4. I'm guessing he's not chasing cars now, but at least he's done it.
I'm guessing he is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At least you can go, yeah, I've been there, done that, and you don't go back to it. And you can get away with doing dafter things when you're a kid, can't you? I nearly killed a man once, right?
Okay, right.
Did you? That time when I was in Wales and I was having a walk with my dad on the cliffs and that,
yeah.
And I just picked up a big rock, right, chucked it off the edge, and as I chucked it off the edge, I noticed the fella was walking down below.
Jeez.
And I missed his head by, like, inches. Now... I've never chucked a rock off a bridge or, like, off a cliff or anything.
And right. It only took one man to almost lose his life for you to learn that lesson.
Yeah, but that's how you learn your lessons,
yeah.
Isn't it?
See, a lot of people would have said that maybe your dad should have said, hey, Carl, what are you doing?
No, but he didn't know I was doing it. I didn't say I'm going to chuck this off here. I just picked it up and chucked it. And, like, as I let go of it, I noticed a fellow was down there. You live and you learn. That's a little mantra.
Right.
You live
okay.
And you learn. So the woman who's had the kid... Sort of look after it, feed it, make sure it's got shoes and that, but let it roam about.
That's great!
There's the advice for you, Anne-Marie.
I love that!
Good luck, just let your 7-month-old baby roam about. Carl, a lot of people are absolutely fascinated to find out how you met Suzanne, your girlfriend, of how long?
Ages.
Yeah. And they're just, they can't comprehend how, well, I suppose that there's any woman out there.
Well, there's someone for everyone, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's always my thing. And it's reassuring, I think. You know, we've chatted about the face transplants and that. You know, there's a face for everyone.
Philosophy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really unbelievable.
No, there is someone for everyone, no matter what yeah. condition you're in or whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's I read on the email, someone emailed in an old Chinese proverb.
Is it old though? You know the Chinese proverbs don't age well.
It's something about everyone, everything, no matter what it is, has got one talent. Right? And that's the same way in a relationship, isn't it? That everyone, you know, there's always someone out there and that. I like the Chinese. There's another Chinese proverb that I learned on an email.
Go on.
He who cuts the wood up, warms himself twice.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then someone sent in that one about too many Chinese cooks spoil the broth.
I don't know who slipped the word Chinese in there, but I heard it as too many cooks.
Well, it was just all sort of Chinese proverbs and that.
One of my favourite on the same subject is a camel is a horse designed by committee.
What do you mean?
Well, it, I mean, it's having a go at the camel, and it shouldn't, but it's just, you know, it's just a metaphor. And if you wanted to design a horse, and you had that vision, but you let 12 people in a room have their say, it wouldn't come out as you wanted it to do, and it wouldn't be as good. A vision is more perfect than committee, because everyone having their say, it becomes anodyne, it becomes compromised. Whereas the best things you can do is have an idea and have a vision and auteur that.
Rick, can I just say now, I can tell from his look that he's thinking, which committee designed the camel?
Well, I'd say, who? Why would you request the ump bit? Because that's just going to get in the way, isn't it? I've always said that about a lot of animals. It's like we've doubled up on a lot of them. We've chatted about elephants and mammoths, one or the other. And that's the same with a camel. I'd have that up there as what they're doing. They were good years ago in the Jesus times and that. Don't need them now. You know what I mean? We've moved on.
Well, not people who use camels to cross deserts.
What other Bedouin communities? I'm going to throw some animals at you, and you tell how you'd have improved them if you'd have been designing them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The octopus.
So I can now go back, I can look at them and go, what are they doing?
And where have they gone wrong? What's up with you? How could you improve it? Like the camel, you go lose the ump.
I'd probably give it a bit more of a body. Cut down on the arms. And give it some bones. Because I don't understand all this. It getting in a jar is good. When does it want to get in a jar? It says...
Well, it only wants to get in a jar according to your stories.
No, but there's something that says it can get in a jar because it hasn't got any bones, but I don't know why it'd want to do that in the first place.
I can't even begin to answer that. Once again, you've claimed that you've read that they like to get in jars. I mean, how do they know that octopus like to get in jars?
Oh, God, I love it. You can improve on an octopus. Millions and millions of years of evolution making it perfect for its surroundings. Okay, another animal for you then, Carl.
Giraffe?
What are they adding to the world? What are they doing?
Well, it's not about what they add to the world,
no, but
is
I
it?
Thought, but I thought that's what everything's about. It's about things are here for a reason.
Well, because they work. The only reason is that they survived. They passed on their genetic material and evolved and was chosen by nature. It was selected.
But there seems to be a lot
The reason they're here is because they didn't die. That's it.
No, but there seem to be a lot of animals that are like...
Do you think there's a lot of cheating? Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
there's
I'm
a
just
lot
saying,
of doubling
there just seems
up.
To be a lot of doubling up.
Yeah, so you'd get it down to like eight animals that represented all of it. Okay, who would get in your team? You can choose eight animals.
This is what I'm saying. If I was Noah, I would have gone like, hang on a minute. I've just seen something that looks a bit like this. Let it drown. And have a clear out. But he didn't. He was messing about saving everything.
Well, he was instructed by God to save everything, to be fair to him.
Yeah, but if he's been given that job, for me, he's sort of manager of that job.
So you believe with Noah as well? You believe Noah happened as well, and he built a boat big enough to catch two of every species? You actually believe that as fact, do you?
Well, it's out there in book form.
Brilliant.
All right.
We haven't answered the question that we started with. How did you meet Suzanne?
Does that work?
Thanks.
Oh, chimpanzee, that monkey!
There was this airline, and it was having a lot of problems.
Pilots too tall?
Yeah, the cabin was so tiny.
Only bananas were allowed in the cockpit for fuel.
Anyway, yeah. there was a lot of strikes going on, right? Sure. Because... I don't know what it was about. It was over money or whatever.
Yes.
And the...
Well, get something that doesn't need money.
Yeah, but... But,
well, but what else could you pay something in,
well,
Rick?
Well, peanuts.
Okay, peanuts or fruit, yeah.
So anyway, the boss of the airline, he had like one pilot who he could trust, right? And that was his son.
Right.
But the problem is with a lot of these planes, you need two pilots.
Of course you do.
And he's like, if only I had two sons. But he didn't. There's no point harping on about it. Right?
Sure.
He runs an airline.
He runs an airline, yeah.
But how many pilots are there? Because there must be loads.
No, there's loads. But the problem is a lot of them are going on strike.
Oh.
And each week you can see that we're struggling here.
It was just the pilots that were striking, was it?
Yeah, the pilots were striking, yeah.
So all the ground staff and... luggage handlers and all that was okay in the cab.
They were fine. It's just pilots were not happy with the deal and what have you.
Yeah. Well, just close it down.
No, anyway, well, you can't do that, Ricky.
No, of course you can't.
It's costing him a fortune if he closes it down.
Yeah, but what, one plane's not going to make a difference in an airline, is it?
No, it's all the planes.
It's all the planes, mate.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So if he's only got one person he can trust, knock it on the head.
No. What's the point? You've got to keep going. You can't just nip stuff in the bud like that. If you got a dream, keep it alive.
I know, but not with one plane and your son.
So anyway.
I don't know.
Well, but that's the least of his problems, Rick, because he's got his son, who's a brilliant pilot, he's the only guy he can trust, but it takes two people to fly.
Well, you can't fly then.
So, the son, he's flying the planes and that, he's getting worried for his dad because of his business, it's falling apart. He's like, anyway, listen.
Well, one plane won't make any difference.
Don't worry about it, we've found someone who you can work with. And he's like, but I get past the picket line because, you know, they know I'm your son anyway and they'll leave me alone, but any other pilot, they're going to start giving him grief.
They're tearing him to shreds, yeah.
He said, don't worry about it.
Unless he could swing over the heads of all the strikers.
He said he's staying over near the sort of quarantine area where all the animals are kept and stuff.
Right, okay.
They won't be looking in there, they won't bother.
No.
So he's like, all right.
There's no animal that could be a co-pilot, that's why.
I'll see you, he'll meet up with you in the cockpit.
He'll meet up in the cockpit, yeah, sure.
So anyway, he gets in there, he meets them. At first, a little bit of a shock who he's going to be working with, but he's thinking, as long as I can keep my dad's business alive, I can
not
keep
with one
job.
Plane. Not
so,
with one plane.
Anyway, what happens is the strike's going on. He's flying. He's got his mate with him flying, helping out.
Who's his mate? What's his
mate's
flights, name?
The flights are brilliant, right? Everybody's loving them. They can't believe how smooth they are.
Sure.
You know, the shares are going through the roof. Everybody's like, what?
Is this one plane? This one plane they've got.
One plane? That wouldn't make any difference.
Everyone's saying, you know, it's only a small plane, but it's worth getting on there.
And it's a small plane as well.
Because it's a great experience.
Gone under, I'd have thought. There's no way they can keep that alive.
Apparently they can.
So they're keeping this plane up in the air and what have you, and everybody's you know, booking the holidays. It's almost like the favourite bit of the holiday. They're loving the flights that much.
Why?
Because it's really good flight.
I don't understand what difference.
Apparently it's a great flight.
I don't understand what difference it makes.
Everyone's happy. Then one day what happens is a little bit of a problem.
Oh dear. You're not going to tell us that sort of co-pilot Coco he's not able to make it to work, is he?
Well, what happened is one woman who was on the plane got a bit peckish,
right?
And said to the air hostess woman, said, "I'm a little bit peckish. Have you got any sort of nibbles and that?" She went, "No, I got a sandwich." She said, "I don't really want a sandwich. You want something, you know, like the usual stuff that planes give out, just like a bag of nuts or something."
Are they not giving those out yet?
So no, they don't give it for some reason. She was like, "Look, we've stopped giving out the nuts. We can get you a sandwich." Strange. And the woman's like, "I don't want a sandwich. Yeah. I just want some nuts." Yeah, do you know what I mean? A sandwich is quite a big meal and what have you. I just want some nibbles, some nuts.
Well, that's not available.
So
done. End of story.
Can't get your nuts. She said, "Well, why aren't they any nuts?" She said, "Well, you know, the airlines had problems and stuff, and maybe that was one of the cutbacks. We've never took the nuts back on."
Yeah, sure.
So she wouldn't just leave it. She wanted her nuts, right? She's having a lovely flight and everything. She said, "I cannot complain about the flight. The flight is brilliant. Yeah.
Whoever's up there flying this plane is doing a dynamite job.
A great job, but I need some nuts."
Right.
Anyway, so there aren't any.
There aren't any.
It's a very demanding woman.
There aren't any.
Look, she's paid big money, right? She's probably in first class. She wants nuts. She's going to get nuts.
There aren't any. Leave it.
Has to force her way into the cabin to get nuts, she's going to get nuts.
Well, she can't go there because she'll be shot. Because with security problems and that, there's no way she could ever go to the cockpit. That would never happen.
So she said, "Well, you're saying there aren't any nuts." She said, "But earlier, I saw you put a tray outside the cockpit, right? It had a sandwich on it, two Cokes and two bags of nuts."
Right.
She said, "So you're saying there aren't any, but the pilot's getting
nuts." Aren't any now? That was the last two packets. Done.
No. So
let's go home.
So she's going, "You can't have any nuts."
We understand now there's a dispute over nuts.
So she said, "Well, I'll go and have a word with the pilot myself, because you only put them out there a few minutes ago. He can't have eaten them yet. I want some.
You cannot go over." No.
I know, this is it. This is, she was saying, you cannot go over. She's going, "Listen.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over because
I'm
going to be lied to."
No, you can't.
So she goes, the pilot can hear all this chat about the nuts and what have you, and he's thinking, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
He opens the door.
Yeah.
She gets a glance in. Little monkey sat there with headphones.
Fucking bollocks. Well, that's the end of another podcast. Do register on rickygervais.com. We'll be having to email you and tell you what's happening when we finish this run of podcasts. We might have some downloads. At the moment, we're working on animating all the monkey newses. So look forward to that. The absolute bullshit that is monkey news in all its glory. This was hosted by Positive Internet.
Great guys.
The great guys that host the world's number one podcast. Cheerio from me, Ricky Gervais, and Steve Merchant.
Goodbye.
And Carl Pilkington.
All right.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.